two times in that story this morning, the young men helped to keep the church on track. Two times the young men needed to dig a grave and bury two people. But the Bible says they carried them out. Carried them out. Challenge for young men, you know, you may feel, well, it's the older ones that are involved in church work, being active. I don't know the whole story of those young men, but they were young men that were ready. When the time came, their help and their strength was needed in relation to the work of the church. God bless you as young men, as you take your place in helping to keep the church what it ought to be in today's world. Turn with me this morning to Psalm 107. I'd like to start with this scripture. We're not going to necessarily do an expository here on this passage. You know, we already are thinking about Thanksgiving and appreciated the thoughts already shared in our service today in relation to Thanksgiving, but I'd like to just begin here with worship and praise from these two verses, Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. I'd like to think for a while this morning about the goodness of God, and this is as it relates to Thanksgiving. And I was contemplating and meditating on these scriptures. And I know this is probably not a new thought to any of us, but to think about the basis of our thanksgiving and worship to God is really part of the of our understanding of the goodness of God. Now, I know all of us this morning, if I would ask you to raise your hands, would say that we believe that God is good. But, you know, that is tested in our understanding of God. I think that the whole concept of the goodness of God is tested a lot more in our lives than what we many times think about. And I'm suspicious that it's the same in your life as it is in mine, that sometimes, at least subconsciously, we can question the goodness of God in situations. You take, for instance, the story here back some months, back in the spring, young girl, young Christian girl, kidnapped and murdered. Do we doubt at all the goodness of God in situations like that? So, you know, you say, well, like, what good is that? Where's the good in that? Or when we ourselves or a close loved one has to suffer, or even just thinking about the many people in the world today, and I admit that I struggle the most in the realization of little children suffering. And you think about there, you know, Isaiah 6, after the story of Isaiah there in the temple and his worship and his, you know, undoneness, and then his call to go out and minister. And it says there that God said, I look for judgment, behold oppression. He said, I look for mercy. He's talking about God's view of the world. I look for mercy in the world, but behold a cry. And you think about that cry that goes up 24/7 into the ears of God of innocent suffering. And you think about it from that perspective, you wonder why God has spared this earth, this world, as long as he has. The cry of innocent suffering. It's tremendous. It Do we ever, back to this question, struggle with believing in the goodness of God? How many of you ever struggle with that? Isn't that what Job struggled with throughout the whole book of Job? He said, "Well, I've done all these things. I've been a righteous man. I've served you, and this is how I'm treated. I mean, it just at least I deserve an answer. I'm not aware that I've done anything wrong, but I mean, this is what I'm suffering. I mean, and he wanted to believe that his God was good, but he was struggling with that idea, that thought." And in our hearts, we often do it too. But you know, as we all know, all the way through the book of Job, and you get to the end of the book of Job, and God never did give him an answer. Really, God was telling him, I don't need to give you an answer. I'm not obligated to give you an answer. But you know, in a sense, God did give him an answer in that he showed him his greatness, and he showed him his power over creation. He said, who tells the wild goats when to calve in the spring? And he goes on and on. All his power in the universe and in the heavens, the stars. He said, who told the stars when to shine and the moon to rise or the sun to rise? That's why at the end Job says, I'll put my hand upon my mouth. I won't. He said, I've uttered things I don't understand. I'm going to be quiet now. Because he saw the greatness, the glory, and the goodness of God. It's easy for us to believe and understand and glorify God for his goodness when things go relatively smooth or pleasant for us. But that's when we also need to think about the times when our love for God, our faith in God, is tested. All right, Psalm 107, verse 1 and verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of his enemies. Notice there the call to us is to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he is good. And again, it is in the goodness of God that we find that thankful heart. And when we are in the situation of unthankfulness is when we are going to have experienced our doubt in the goodness of God. I'd like to go to now to Psalm 78. It's a more familiar psalm, maybe, than some. I'm going to read a good many of these verses in Psalm 78. And I'd just like you to think about, as you read down through this, the mercy of God, and especially the goodness of God toward his people. This Psalm just goes over again and again how that God was treating Israel with the goodness of his heart and his desire to lead them and for them to be his people, and how that so often they did not fully understand this. I'm going to begin reading at verse 12 of Psalm 78. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. You notice what they were saying? After he had done all these great things for them in relation to dividing the sea and causing them to pass over, and he clave rocks so that they would have water to drink. And then they were in the wilderness after that, you know, and they did not have the food they wanted. And so they asked this question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Massive unbelief when you think about it. All that God had done, and yet their reply was, in their circumstances, I wonder if God is able to do that or not. And that's why it says God was angry with them. Verse 21. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. And he sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust and feathered fowls, as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations, and they did eat, and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lusts, and while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not of his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God, their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, and you just wonder how that is, after all that they did, then you think about all that we've done, and how often we think that we deserve something from God, we deserve some of his mercy. Nevertheless, it says they flattered him with their mouth. They said the right thing, but they weren't living it out. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. I think about that in my own life. In my struggles and failures, if you look back upon, you know, your life, how many times did God turn away his anger in my life and did not stir up all his wrath? Or none of us would be here. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And they remembered not his hand nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. And he set divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them, and gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost, and he gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation, and trouble by sending evil angels among them. And he made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death and gave their life over to the pestilence. And he smote all the firstborn in Egypt and the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. What do you think Israel thought when they were watching the plagues come upon Egypt. Now, we know not all the plagues were experienced by Israel, but on the Egyptians around them. But some of the plagues did affect them. And they had to live within that bubble, as it were, with the plagues of Egypt around them, which would have been a difficult time for them, I believe. But would have they understood the goodness of God in those plagues upon the Egyptians, you know, around them? But it says that he made a way, verse 52, but made his own people go forth like sheep. The suffering that they had in Egypt was because God was getting ready to deliver them from Egypt, you see. And that was also the goodness of God. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to his mountain, which his right hand had purchased. And he cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yea, they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. And it goes on down and talks about his judgment upon them. And drop down to verse 68. He says, but he chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved, and he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. You see the working of God in the life of his people to bring them to the place that he wanted them, where King David would reign over them. And then God promised there would be a descendant of King David to sit upon the throne of Israel forever, which, of course, is referring to the Lord Jesus himself. So we see the goodness of God as one of his attributes. There would be other scriptures that we could look at in relation to the goodness of God as it relates to us. Romans 11, verse 22 says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. In other words, there's the goodness of God and the judgment of God, the goodness of God and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Notice there the continuation, that word if thou continue in his goodness, we can experience the goodness of God today because of his long-suffering and mercy to us. Psalm 119, verse 68, thou art good, and doest good, teach me thy statutes. Romans 2 and verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? We actually despise the riches of God's goodness to us, and forbearance and long suffering. You know, to continue to live in sin and to go against the work of God and the desire of God for my life, That is despising the goodness and the forbearance of God, the long-suffering of God. It says, not knowing or not recognizing that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Every time we turn away from God or we make a wrong choice in life, knowing better of what we should do, and not do it, we are despising the goodness of God. Because it's the goodness of God that allows us to repent. And I think sometimes we can assume too much and see it or take it too lightly, the whole concept of repentance, and somehow believe that, yes, you know, if I don't quite do right today, well, I'll just, you know, I'll pray tonight and ask God for forgiveness and keep on going. You know, we do that, we are on thin ice in relation to the mercy of God. Because it means that we are presuming on his grace and somehow thinking that it's going to be there tomorrow or it's going to be available to us tonight. You see, the story of Ananias and Sapphira tells us that that's not always the case. It's the goodness of God that gives people the opportunity to repent. He's not obligated to. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11, Paul here is saying, in relation to his prayer for the Thessalonians, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, when I read that last night, I did not read it right from my Bible, my scriptures. I read it from another writing. And when I read that verse, I thought, okay, that must not be the King James Version. Not that it would have made that much difference necessarily to me, but and I looked it up in my scriptures, and sure enough, that is exactly the way it says it. So I was a little surprised that I didn't know my scriptures better. Did you ever know it says this, exactly like this? Paul in his prayer says, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, that'd be a sermon in itself, I guess, or a study in itself. What is he referring to in relation to the good pleasure of his goodness? Well, I'm not sure what all that means. But you know, Paul writes in Ephesians, you know, that in relation to the good pleasure of God, in relation to his people, you know, that it's beyond us. It's beyond our ability to even ask or think. And so you think about, again, this morning, the goodness of God, the good pleasure of his goodness toward his people. You think about the, you know, as in relation to Christianity and the religions of the world. I guess the thought struck me in relation to this because the United States was the first country in history that we know of that instituted a national day of Thanksgiving. Canada was right soon after that. Some other nations have done that. But basically only a Judeo-Christian nation honors a day of Thanksgiving. Many of the religions of the world, most other religions of the world, do not have that relationship with their God. You think about the blessing that we have, the ability we have to praise our God and to worship him. Not a hateful God, not an angry God. Yes, we know there's the wrath of God, but his view toward us as the people of God and as humanity is his desire to shed his goodness, the good pleasure of his goodness to us. And that should, I think, draw from us a desire of worship and praise and adoration. Let's look at a few thoughts that relate to this now. There's a song we sing sometimes. I don't believe it's in this hymn book. O thou great eternal one, whose goodness every age has stood, thou art exalted over all, for thou art great and thou art good. Teach me to know thy tender care, thy matchless grace, the atoning blood, thy sovereign power upholding all, but more and more that thou art good. When doubts, unrest, and fears assail, when grief comes o'er me like a flood, my brightest day be turned to night, I rest secure, for God is good. When human friendships shall decay, and earth affirm its finitude, when time wanes to eternity, one thing remains, our God is good. This morning, if we are going to have a thankful heart, a truly thankful heart to God, we must believe that God is good. God is good in all that he does. Is our faith tested sometimes? Yes. I've been through I look back at some of the dark situations, dark valleys that personally I've had to go through in my life, and the struggle in some of those situations to believe that God is good. And you just pray for faith to believe that God is good when things make no sense to us. But to believe that eternal one, you know, there's this whole discussion of suffering and the meaning of suffering in the world, and unbelievers and atheists always like to pose this question. It comes up in one of the most talked about questions in the Billboard ministry that Cam has. You talk to some of those brethren that answer those calls. It's one of the questions that come up the most. You believe in a good God, then why all the suffering in the world? Why do righteous people suffer? Why do good people suffer? You know, and of course they don't believe we have a very good answer for that. And they think, well, why don't you have a good answer for that? You're supposed to be a Christian. We do have an answer for that. We believe in a sovereign God. And he is so sovereign and above all that maybe we couldn't even understand the explanation if he did give it to us. And the other side of it is, to believe in God and the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God, even if we don't understand and God doesn't even explain it to us, that's fine. We can still have faith in him. We still trust him. What answer does the atheist have for that? What answer do they have for suffering? Well, they have none. We can hold on to that faith and belief in the goodness of our sovereign God. All right, think a little more about thankfulness in relation to the goodness of God. Thankfulness will always acknowledge God, of course, as the giver of all things. And thanksgiving, a lot of times, I fear, is based around this whole thought that, you know, we've had a good year. Yes, there's been things that are surely different this year than many other years that we've ever remembered. But we would still this morning say that God is good. Just because, you know, there was a good harvest, that often is associated with Thanksgiving, the time of Thanksgiving. But that just doesn't do justice to the concept of Thanksgiving. Suppose we did not have a good year, so, you know, in a sense. You know, suppose there wasn't cropping. Suppose, you know, the locusts came like at times in Israel and ate everything up. And there just wasn't any food to put away for the winter, and we didn't know what we're going to do. Would we still say that God is good? You see, thankfulness is acknowledging that God is the giver of all things. And that isn't just that which is good, but that which is also what we would interpret as against us. It includes a deep conviction. As we said before, God is good and righteous and kind to his children. Like Matthew 7 and verse 11, where Jesus said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You know, for us being, you know, the material beings we are, and we know how to give good gifts, he's saying God the Father knows that much more. Thankfulness is also based on the deep sense of unworthiness. We are not worthy of the least of his blessings to us this morning. God doesn't owe us a pleasant life, a good life, as we would interpret it, because we are unworthy of the least of his blessings that he has given to us. And so then our level of thankfulness is a reflection of our relationship to God and how we view God. Thankfulness is not based on what we may have or not have. And in our humanity, we often struggle with that. You know, that it's based on what we have or we don't have. And so, you know, I can be thankful when things are relatively good and going smoothly. But can we be thankful when things are not going so smooth? That's a challenge. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says that we're to be thankful in everything. Everything. And I'm sure that you, like me, will be working on that concept for the rest of our lives. Thankfulness is a result of our close relationship with God. It's also a choice that we make as to how we will relate to life in general. I'd like to think a little more now, as far as thankfulness for His goodness and what it does for us in our lives. Thankfulness is a mindset, is an attitude that affects everything. It is believing in His goodness and that it's always, the core of true worship. I do not believe that we can sit here Sunday after Sunday, or even if in our homes or wherever we are, maybe just praying as we're driving or whatever it is, that kind of worship. We cannot have true worship unless we have a thankful heart. It's foundational because it's how we view God. Now, with that then, of course, there's going to be a practical outworking of this that's going to affect everything else in our lives. How many of us like to relate or work with someone who is so sour and dour and just, have a negative outlook on about everything? You ever meet somebody like that? Just like, you just don't know what to say after a while because just everything is negative. It's just like, a person like that can't worship. You can't be a Christian and act like that. Believing in His goodness will help prevent many sins of the Spirit in our lives. And this is where it gets very practical. If we have the right concept of God's goodness, as He is the giver of all things, we have that thankful spirit in our hearts, how can we be covetous? How can we want something that is not been given to us or we don't have? How can you be covetous if you are thankful? Or what about envy and jealousy, closely related to covetous? The person that, or times even in our own hearts, the struggle, we want a little bit more. The materialistic mindset is never satisfied, but always a little more. Envy, jealousy, covetous. Somebody's gotten ahead of me. Somebody has an advantage over me. Someone has things that I wish I had. Whatever it is. All those attitudes are involved in the opposite of a thankful heart. What about critical attitudes? If we have critical attitudes towards others, or whether it involves gossip or anything like that, that is the result of a heart that is not thankful. I have found when I struggle, and you probably have too, when I struggle with my attitudes towards someone, or have a hard time appreciating and loving someone the way I ought to, the best thing to do is just stop and think about all their good traits and thank God for them in prayer for that brother, sister, whoever it is, friend, neighbor, and to think about that in relation to thankfulness and what God has blessed our lives because of that individual. If we can't think of anything that is good, that we can be thankful for in the life of someone else that we know or relate to, we have a problem. We have a serious problem. And I think that that's just one simple way that we can encourage that. There's also this sense of entitlement. And you understand the idea of the sense of entitlement. That's a common problem today, especially in a more socialistic society, where it's the idea that, I am owed something, or I should deserve something. Society owes me a job or time off. And I know there's talk now of the government's talking about, mandating 10 paid days of sick leave for Canadians from work. In other words, the company has to supply or pay for up to 10 days of sick leave. You think about that. Okay, there's probably people that are sick, and maybe there's probably people need some money. But that it's based on an entitlement aspect. And that can rub off on us. Not necessarily that maybe in itself, but you understand what I'm saying? That sense of entitlement. That, you know, people owe me this, they owe me that. Not even on money, but it's whether even friendship. Do you ever try to force somebody to like you? Doesn't work very well, does it? Sense of entitlement. You have to earn it. Go out there and earn it. Earn your respect. Earn their friendship. All that involves the thankfulness in how we view ourselves. It will affect our relationship with others because it involves our attitude toward God and ourselves. Also, believing in His goodness will affect our outlook on life. We talked a little bit about this, but you know, a negative person is not a thankful person. And I know we all go through some days that they don't look as bright as some other days. You know, and we can fall into this negative mindset a bit, and just like you get to, you know, we can like almost no one can do anything right. This is a negativity toward others or toward life or toward what we think is the hurts of our life or the disadvantages of our life. All those negative things. Well, when we do that, we're not looking to the goodness of God and thankful for His goodness to us. Believing in His goodness will always bring calmness and rest to the soul. It brings our level of expectation into line with the realities of life. You know, when we are not as thankful as we ought to be for the blessings God has given to us, and we feel there are some things missing that God hasn't allowed us to have, it's because we are, again, doubting His goodness. Believing in His goodness will soften and temper the blows of life. You know, when you think about that, in having that worshipful mind and thankful mind as it relates to His goodness, then when things come that are unexpected or that shatter our world, our plans, our ideas, our view of the future, whatever it is, we're prepared for that because it will soften the blows of life. Because in deep in our hearts is that strong belief that whatever happens, God is good. Always. God is good. Believing in His goodness will help us relate properly to the past as well. If we cannot let go of the past, we cannot let go of the hurts of the past, we're not a thankful person. We're not believing in the goodness of God. And I just one of the things I think in life and going forward and in our worship and praise to God, we must, each of us, have a forgiving spirit, a forgiving heart toward the past in our lives. If we don't come to grips with that, nothing else about our spiritual life will be moving forward and be blessed by God. How do we acknowledge the goodness of God in our lives? Keep a close relationship with our majestic and great God. Worshipfulness and thankfulness is all a part of this. Humility is essential to believe in the goodness of God. Because who are we to challenge God? Who are we to say that God has not been good to us in every situation? He sees the whole picture. We only see a little tiny sliver of it. And yet we think that then when we see that, we think we understand the whole thing about our lives, and we do not. To believe that God is good means that He will see and understand that what He is doing in our lives is for our eternal good, not just to give us a pleasant life here. Yes, we enjoy the blessings He gives to us, but His is the eternal view. His is the view that He will do what all in His power, in the goodness of His heart, so that you and I can be saved and find salvation and end up in eternity. You can say from a natural human perspective, the worst thing that can happen to our in our life, you know, we often think about would be like to die or an accident or something happens. But that's not the worst. The worst would be to die outside of Christ. That's the worst. And so as a Christian, and with the goodness of God and understanding that in our thankful hearts, we then can rest that, you know, God's goal, God's desire for us is to be safely with Him in eternity. And He's working from that perspective. We try to save life. We try to, and which is good. I'm not saying that's wrong, but you understand what I'm saying, that, you know, that we try to somehow avoid those realities when God is working from a lot bigger picture than we are. Cultivate thankfulness as a thought pattern. I think this is a challenge for each of us in our lives. I was listening to the prayer meeting Wednesday night, and it struck me of how much thankfulness was included in many of those prayers. And I appreciate that. Yes, there's requests, and we spend time making a list of requests. I always like when some of those in that list are thanksgiving, thankfulness, should be. But then to hear brothers, sisters pray, thank the Lord. There's so many things. It involves our thought pattern, it involves our hearts, our view of God and ourselves. Dwell on the blessings God gives rather than clutching at the things that He withholds from us. That is a challenge for us. But dwell on the blessings as we understand them. The things that He withholds from us are blessings too. How many of you ever prayed a prayer? Or multiple prayers, or about the same thing that you wanted or desired God in your life. And only later in life did you look back and thank God that He didn't answer those prayers. I have. That's why you pray according to His will. Because I'm just glad that God didn't give everything to me that I asked Him for. And I'm sure we get to eternity, it's going to be that much of a bigger surprise. We pray according to the will of God, what is best according to His will for us. Not my will, but thine be done, Jesus said. That's in the goodness of God that He will then arrange and rearrange our lives the way He knows is best for us, rather than me trying to steer my life the way I think it should be. Crucify negative thoughts of self-pity and jealousy and criticalness. We talked about that. Those things need to be crucified and put under the blood. We can't live in that kind of a mindset and worship and be thankful for the goodness of God. Verbalize genuine thanks to others and about others. And I think that in Christian brotherhood, that's so important. You know, we ought to thank God for our brothers and our sisters here in the congregation. We ought to do that often. Maybe do it every day. Just thank God. Pray for each other. When we have that mindset, it's going to take care of a lot of the frictions that happen and irritations that happen in human relationships. Do I need to fully understand the concern my brother may have for me? But I believe that he's doing it out of the goodness of his heart. You see, that will make a difference. So we verbalize that genuine thanks. And also make thankfulness a more major part of our prayers and our worship. I appreciate that many of the songs we sing are praise songs and worship songs and hymns that exalt the greatness and the goodness of God and our thankfulness to Him. I'd like to close with this quote. And it goes like this. The Christian who walks with the Lord and keeps constant communion with Him will see many reason for rejoicing and thanksgiving all day long. We will never get done with our list of things to thank the Lord for, to praise Him for, when we realize who we are and who He is. May God help us to be a rejoicing, joyful people, and praising Him for His goodness to us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank You for the blessings that we receive from Your hand. We thank You, Father, that You show Your goodness in so many ways, not just to us as Your people. We do appreciate Your Holy Spirit and His work in our lives. And Father, we also realize that You in Your goodness shower the rain, give Your sunshine to the good and the evil. And yet many people do not appreciate, do not thank you for that. Father, thank you that you are good, that you're merciful, that you don't remember our sins against us in forgiveness and repentance. And so, Father, we pray again this morning that when we are tempted to slip into negativity, when we're tempted to slip into self-pity, when we're tempted to hold unforgiveness or baggage from the past, Father, we just pray, help us in penitence to look to your power, your grace, your strength, and your goodness in forgiveness. And Father, we thank you that you know each of our hearts, you know the condition of each of our hearts, and that we have the opportunity again today to respond in thanksgiving and praise. And Father, we just pray that each of us would make the right choices in life so that we can continue to experience your grace and forgiveness and your goodness to us. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen. Have a song.
Number 99. Number 99.
No high in the heavens eternal God, thy goodness in full glory shines, thy truth shall break through every cloud that veils and darkens thy designs. Forever firm thy justice stands, as mountains their foundations keep. Wise are the wonders of thy hands, thy judgments are a mighty. My God, how excellent thy grace, whence all our hope and comfort spring. The sons of Adam in distress fly to shadow of thy wings. Life like a fountain, rich and free, springs from the presence of our Lord, and shall see the glories promised in thy
word. Just open it up for testimony, since we're all together one place today. Give you the opportunity, you want to share something. You've been waiting for 4.5 months to do this, so.
Well,
Maybe someone just has something to share in relation to the goodness of God to you, or something about Thanksgiving. Very good. Anyone else? I know we've I thought about this in relation to Thanksgiving, but in relation to this whole year, this whole COVID thing, you know, and how frustrating this has all been to all of us. Then I was challenged at what I should be thankful for in all of this. I guess number one is that we're all still alive. None of us have died from it. Isn't that something to be thankful for? It's not been as bad here as a lot of other places. I visited with my mother the last months. What they've experienced over there in Ontario, it's a lot different than here. A lot more people sick and so, we should be thankful for that. And I think the other thing is, I guess that struck me studying for this message last night was that, do I see the goodness of God in this whole COVID thing? Or do I see it just as a frustration? It's just like, I don't know what God has to teach us in all this. I don't know, but I'm sure it's something that's good. Anyway, who else would I like to share something?
I think if we look for something positive out of this COVID thing, I think it's there. You know, we've heard our entire lives that absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, there's still third of our congregation is not here. But just to have all you brethren and sisters here, it's almost overwhelming. Don't be. It's just such a blessing to have everyone here. It's a strength. It's a strength to our faith, I think, just to be together. And it's almost like a new experience. I mean, we remember what it was before, but it's been a long time. We need each other.
Okay, anyone else? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of thanks that we have in our hearts, even though we don't always express it. I'll share the announcements for this week. There's no prayer meeting this week. It'll be the off week for that. Tuesday, I believe, Munro has a birthday. If that's my calendar is right. How old are you going to be, Munro?
19.
See, that's how old I was when we moved to BC, I believe, around that age. It's an old marker in my history. Also, next Sunday, I believe Curtis has a birthday, if my calendar's right, and Benjamin, I believe. They're not here this morning. They went up for reception. But Benjamin has a birthday next Sunday as well. All right, let's continue to pray for each other. Let's continue to be a thankful people, a joyful people. When the world is dark and people are pretty glum out there in general, I think that as the people of God, we ought to be the happiest people on the street. And I know I'm not the kind that smiles that easy. And I know my wife tells me that when I don't smile, I can look kind of severe sometimes. But I want to keep working on it, you know. And I, that we just show that desire, love for the world. God wants us to bring them to also a place of knowing Him as a good God. All right, let's stand for dismissal. Thank you, Father, for your blessings that we could be here again this morning in this way. And we pray that you would continue to guide us in our walk with you and in our steps, each path of life that each of us will take this week again. And Father, we just pray that your keeping power would be with us, that you would keep us each from sin and evil, that we would be victorious in our lives, that we would experience your grace and love and understand your goodness to us. And so, Father, we just pray that you would continue to bless us. And we think of those who are not here with us this morning and their worship and their work wherever they are in relation to their service to you. We just pray your blessing upon them, and may there be safe travels for many of them that are traveling. And again, Father, we just pray that we might be that witness to the world that is so dark and there's so many needs. And Father, we just pray that we might continue to reach out, and may your love flow through us in our being, and that we would express that love then to others around us. And so, Father, we just pray your blessing upon each of us. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.